here at the Hockey Euros 2015 with Peter Child, who has a long history in hockey with the Angels and with Grandmasters, and who's now going to tell me something about it. Peter, would you like to introduce yourself and just tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the Angels?
Yeah, I was. I started playing for Guildford Hockey Club in the early 1960s. And I got involved with, well, actually Jim Pollock, who was the mastermind behind the Angels, discovered me because we both worked at Harwell Atomic Energy, and I went down with him to Guildford at that time, a long distance to play every weekend. And in that time we got to know each other better, and he told me about his tours that he was organising. And it was actually based originally at Guildford, called Guildford Angels, his team. And at that time we went to 62, 63 to New York and then Bermuda. And Jim Pollock presented an award to the honorary president of the privateers based in New York. Who happened to be Ike Eisenhower, and actually we have a photo of that presentation. Early 20s that time, so it was quite an amazing gobsmacking experience meeting Ike, the well-known Ike Eisenhower. I'm not quite sure whether he was, but he's certainly the honorary president. How that happened, I cannot say. Have to ask probably one of the old privateers, but nevertheless that was the start of it, the whole thing for me. And we then to Bermuda, which was obviously for us amazing there, played hockey there, and we played out actually several years on after that, because they had a regular tournament there basically for American teams. And then 1967 was Jamaica. We played on the Sabina Park test pitch there. We were there for about 2 weeks, unbelievable. And then we went on to Bermuda again afterwards. That was 67. Then the next year was amazing. We went to Rhodesia and South Africa. And we started off in Salisbury and played against, arrived there the first day, absolutely jet lagged. We had to play Rhodesia, the national team, in Salisbury. I think we only lost 2-0, but it was we were shattered afterwards. And then we had a cocktail party. We invited to a cocktail party at Ian Smith's residence. So we then met Ian Smith. This was 68.
So it was just before the Declaration of Independence.
That's right, yeah.
Just after.
No, anyway, the amazing thing that Jim Pollock organised was that we could also, we had a ladies team as well, by the way, yeah, so men's and ladies team. And then we stayed privately everywhere, so you could really get an experience of the Rhodesian people with their staff, who were blacks, of course, and they treated them very, very well. We were very impressed with the setup in Rhodesia. Going down into South Africa, we played against the provinces. We started off in a gold town called Welkom. It was a really rich clubhouse made of heavy oak and everything, flamingos outside on the lake. And that was the start of it. We had a game there, and then we went down to Durban. And all this time we're staying privately with the people, so it was an amazing experience for us at that time. Then we went down to Port Elizabeth, East London, and down to Cape Town, and stayed there for some days. And we were staying with sometimes European South Africans and the Boer South Africans. Yeah? You could tell the subtle difference as well. I won't go into that. But it was way back in the 60s. We'd done all this, you know, traveling around, and then it carried on from there. We went into Asia, we went into China, played in China in front of thousands of people, yeah. And I can't remember, Japan. And I forget the rest of that tour. But another tour was East Africa. That was the time of the boycott. And Jim Pollock was very crafty. We arrived in Tanzania, then we went down to Zambia, And then I wondered why we were 6 days in Malawi, because it's just a little state, and it happened to be on the Rhodesian border. We'd asked the government if we could slide in there to play, and they said, no, it's not. We don't recommend that you do that. So we interpreted that as, don't let us know. And we slid across the border then into Rhodesia. That was the 6 days we planned for Malawi. So we had 1.5 days there, and then we were back in Salisbury. And that was in the 70s, early 70s. So another one was we did a tour of to New York, then went on to Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver. And then down to Napa Valley, San Francisco. We played all the way around there. Again, an amazing experience. And after that, there were occasional tours, but I think we'd done most of it the historical stuff in that time, the unforgettable.
There can't have been many hockey clubs or hockey teams that toured as extensively exactly. as that.
We were welcomed in all these places like a national team. You know, we were a mixture of club players and one or two international players, and also the girls, the women. And we were treated just like VIPs when we arrived, because it was unusual at that time in the 60s, 70s. So that was a marvellous experience for us. We got in one little store in Bermuda. The gym had sent a message that the honeymoon couple were coming with child. And they were very conservative there. And they met the plane, and this couple got off the plane, and we're very sorry, we can't find any accommodation for a honeymoon couple with child. And I said, I'm the child. And so the Bermuda Ocean News had a big photo of mum and dad with child sitting on mum's lap. And that was the main photo on the headlines of Bermuda Ocean News. That was a funny. I've got that cutting at home, actually. But so that's a bit of that story, and might be interesting for people to know.
What about your experiences at the Grand Masters? Did this come out of the Angels?
No. I'm 1970. I moved to Munich just for 3 days, a 3 years contract, and it went on to five. I came from the civil service. I was in an international project in Munich. And I decided I didn't want to go back. So I've been living in Munich ever since, in the same project, until I retired. So I've been living 45 years in Munich. I'm married to a German lady with a hockey-playing son. And and in that time, when I became 60, I thought, okay, that's the end of my... coming to the end of my hockey career. And then I got involved with the 60s movement, which hadn't really got itself officially recognized at that time. And I was playing for Germany because I'm resident there and therefore qualified for them. And it was obviously difficult for me to go to England to train and play every time. So I've been playing, and in fact I'm playing now in the tournament for the over 70s in the at Southgate Hockey Club. And then anyway, in 2002, we decided that it had to be officially set up, the World Grandmasters Organization, to try and get the proper footing for 60 plus hockey. And then 2004, I was elected the first president of the World Grandmasters Association. And then from then on, it just got bigger and bigger, and we got official recognition from FIHI, I think, in 2006. It was then followed by the other organization, the IMHA, the International Masters Association, Hockey Association, who were looking after the 40s to 59, our kindergarten, as I would call it. And they were recognized in 2 years later. And since then, we've had honors. We've been praised by the FIH for our activities looking after the forgotten parents, and who have been bringing their kids into the game and actually being officials for hockey in the world. Well, now we've got 20 nations taking part in our organization, between 60, 65, 70 and even 75s.
Yes, I
are playing now. And then the first time this year, because I promised that we look after both sexes, and we got the over 60s women now taking part. England, Holland and Australia at the moment have the official teams. And so it's really developing at a fast rate of knots. And I then handed over to Wim van Noordwijk, who's the Dutch friend as well, I would say, and to carry on. And I'm still acting as past president on the executive for the next year or so.
You must have made some amazing friends.
Yes, I'm meeting people all the time here, even, yeah, that all over the world I'm meeting people. It's wonderful. Hockey is a wonderful sport. It just brings people together as one big family, whatever age you are.
Do you think there was any elitism in the touring that you did with the Angels because of the cost?
No. In fact, I was skint. I was a young guy. I mean, I had to go then wanted to go to Jamaica and Bermuda and then South Africa and Rhodesia. The prices then were something like £180, I think, we paid for the Rhodesia, South Africa. But that time it was a different, it was a lot. But I had a friendly bank manager. I don't think it was an elite. A lot of school teachers and a whole mixture of people. It wasn't an elite crowd at all, not at all. It was just a normal, average class of hockey player.
And did everybody always get on with each other?
Yes. Well, it was a tremendous, tremendous atmosphere. There was hardly any enmity in there at all. It was a great experience. I met some friends a couple of nights ago, and we went through, recounted all our stories that we were on the tour together. The first time for 30 years was one of the guys there turned up from Lancashire, and we had such a wonderful evening just swapping the stories and laughing. We didn't want to go, it was just to leave. It was just so fantastic.
That seems to be the legacy that hockey's given to most people, I think.
Yeah, I think it's love of the game. That's why I did the 60s. I put into it what I'd felt, and I got back from the sport over the many years, and I think it was a wonderful opportunity for me to put something back in, yeah, and did it not for elitism or anything, but just for love of the game.
That's great. Peter Child, thank you very much indeed for talking to me and telling me all these wonderful stories of tours of the Angels.